This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in to West Palm Beach Nationals Spring Training, day two of our coverage from Nats Camp. Grant and Danny live and on the road on 106.7 The Fan. Spring training coverage is being brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. We are thrilled to let you know that Max Scherzer, Ryan Zimmerman, Steven Strasburg, and others will join us while we're here in the next 4 hours. But what better way to start the show right off the top than with the president of baseball operations and the architect of this Nationals club, Mike Rizzo, to set the table for a big day of coverage. First of all, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Busy morning, I'm sure.
Pleasure to be here. You're starting off slow. I'm going to work your way up to Scherzer, Strasburg, and the boys.
Well, you're setting the table, batting leadoff, so we'll get you aboard and bring you around to score a run. Why don't we just start with the off-season plan? One thing I've noticed since being here about the clubhouse, everything you did on the field was very obvious. You need to upgrade catcher, you went and got two guys. You need to bolster the rotation, you do that. To me, there was a design here where everyone you brought in is kind of a mensch that in the clubhouse is a leader and has been around a while. You got Dozier getting Kendrick back healthy, Yan Gomes, Kurt Suzuki. How much a factor was that in your process?
You know, we always take into account, you know, the makeup of the club is ultra important to us. Obviously, you have to have skill sets and tools and performance on the field. But when you can combine performance on the field and the ability to play really high quality Major League Baseball and good guys and guys who've been there before and guys who've won and leadership qualities and just, you know, kind of baseball rats, it's a great combination to have. We always shoot for that first and foremost, and this year I think we landed a handful of guys that are not only great players but great guys, clubhouse, community, on the field. It's a joy to watch these guys get after it and the way they prepare, and you know, they're pros, and it's a good thing for the young players because it rubs off. When your best players are your hardest workers, that's what it's all about.
Mike, big picture in baseball, you see people kind of complaining, State of the Union, that certain teams aren't spending money or quote-unquote trying to win or whatever you want to call that. Forget the label. But a number of guys have said they give you and the Nationals a lot of credit because you're clearly not doing the other thing. This is a group that's obviously committed to winning on a yearly basis, spending money to kind of go and prove that. So is there a kind of an effective spot in the market where you can go get some of these veterans who right now, baseball-wide, are underappreciated?
Well, I think that, you know, there's different teams are in different parts of their development plan, and I think that it's, we're here, we're trying to win, we're competitive people, ownership is competitive, I'm very competitive, and you know, we want to win, and, you know, we've shown for the last, you know, 7 or 8 years that we're, you know, we're here to put together a product that that the D.C. area can be proud of, where we want players that D.C. people can be proud of to call their own, and you know, we're always looking for the great player that good between the lines and in the clubhouse, in the community, and like I've said many times, you know, we like the fact that when you guys talk about a player and when they read about him in the newspaper, it's about sports, and you know, we couldn't be more proud of that. But yeah, you know, we're here, you know, they have to fit within your parameters, and you know, everyone's got a budget, everyone's got to pinch pennies and look, you know, our payroll is about $175 million this year. We've added a lot of free agents. We've made a couple of trades. We've turned over about almost 30-40% of the roster, but we had a lot of holes to fill. We lost a lot of guys in free agency and had to you know patch that thing together and put together a club that we could be proud of that you know, can take back to National League East and play, you know, deep into the fall.
Mike Rizzo on Grant and Danny. And before we get into what you did and who you've got, Bryce Harper's not here, and that's still one of the biggest stories in baseball because here we are in late February and he hadn't found a home. Are you guys out? Have you turned the page? Are you ready to say he won't be here?
You know, we never turned a page. We wouldn't be doing our job if we eliminated segments of the free agent population, especially players that that have that much ability level and that we know fulfill all the characteristics that we want in a player.
But do you have ongoing discussions with Boris now, or
no?
Are they
done? We're not having ongoing discussions. They know my phone number, and we've dealt with them for a long time, and we're in a position that they recognize that we've got ourselves a great team. We've put together a product that we could be proud of, and that can compete. And I think that right now that we're in a position that we can win.
Looking at this bullpen that you've constructed, I would say this is not a typical Mike Rizzo February bullpen. A lot of times you have kind of, let's see what we got some guys that we like, but you've added over the years some of the big acquisitions or via trade. This group heading into the season, some proven power arms, a couple guys that have closed at a high level at the all-star level, and Rosenthal, and obviously Doolittle, and a Kyle Bearclaw guy that's got nasty stuff. All of a sudden, this looks like some of these playoff bullpens that we see, but it's here in February. Different approach for you?
Well, it's it was opportunities. We felt especially those two that you mentioned, the Bearclaw and the Rosenthal acquisitions, were thriving on an opportunistic market at the time. Miami was in real need of some international money late in the season. We happened to have it and made what we felt was a really solid deal for an up and coming big arm that has proven it on the major league level, had some struggles, and now we think that he's going to right the ship and be a guy for us. And Rosenthal, I've seen enough of Rosenthal over the years to know that I'd rather have him with us than against us. He's been remarkable in his career. Got hurt, Tommy John, rehabbed it really, really well. 18 months later, we had one of our best scouts go out there and see him pitch, and he was really, really excited about him, and a guy who, when I read that scout, he very rarely gets as excited as he was. So when he hung up the phone, about 3 hours later, we had Rosenthal signed.
When you go out and address second base and Mike Rizzo's on Grant and Danny and you bring in Brian Dozier, did you feel like power was something, if Harper might be moving on, you needed? I think 80% of the top 10 teams in the league last year made the playoffs in terms of home runs. He obviously gives you defense as well, improves the staff. But was that a fit because you said, we need someone who might be able to hit 30.
We wanted two-way players, and Brian is a two-way player. You got a guy that's got great hands. He pivots to double play as good as anybody in the league, and has great range, and Gold Glove resume, and a guy that was really we really think is going to be a bounce back player for us. Played most of the season, if not all the season, with nicked up. He's a tough guy that's not going to come out of the lineup, and he showed it last year. When he played on a knee that was extremely bruised up and sore for most of the season. I think it affected his range. I think it affected him at the plate. And we're looking for him to bounce back and be Brian Dozier that he's been his whole career, except for the latter part of last year.
Mike, historical comparisons for Juan Soto, what he did, are names like Ken Griffey Jr. and Mickey Mantle and Mel Ott and some of the greats to ever play this game. Do you see some of that same profile? How do you avoid kind of a sophomore slump here for the player? I mean, just kind of what goes into preparing this guy? Because now there are a bunch of guys that are paid to get him out, and they're figuring out how to do that. And how do you avoid, trying to do more than Juan Soto can do at this stage, if that makes sense?
Well, I just think that you have to, surround him with good players, and where he doesn't have to bear too much of a load. And I think we've done that with him. And as far as comparison, we had this conversation when Harp was coming through, and when I had it when Justin Upton was coming through at such young ages. I want Juan Soto to be the best Juan Soto he can be, and compare him to nobody. And I want people to be comparing players to Juan Soto. That's our goal. It's his goal. He's extremely driven. He's one of those special players that is good but wants to be great, and when he becomes great, he's going to want to be the best, and when he's the best, he's going to want to be a Hall of Famer. He's got that gene in him. Is he's never satisfied. We've got reports when he played in Japan, rave reviews on, of course, the between the lines is great, but rave reviews on the rest of his game and the rest of the way he conducts himself, and from pretty special guys. When Donnie Baseball calls you and tells you that this is a special person, that's pretty fun to hear.
That's neat.
Mike, there's probably not an executive in the sport that wouldn't trade positions with you in terms of how well-built the roster is. And I think most teams could say you'd always love to have a little bit more veteran starting pitching. I know what it looks like if it's right for you, but if you look at the back of the rotation, Anibal Sanchez trying to duplicate last year, hadn't done that in a while. Fetty hadn't proven it at the major league level. Joe Ross maybe on an innings restriction. Do you guys have enough behind the big three to feel like, remember last year, all of a sudden midway through the season, there was some turbulence, you can navigate the year?
Well, you know, there is turbulence, and when you lose, 40-60% of your rotation, it's tough for any team. I don't care what type of depth you think you have. When you lose some of your big starters for extended periods of time, one of them twice, it's difficult to replicate the elite pitching, the elite starting pitching that we've had in the past. So, you never have enough depth. You never have enough good arms. You never have enough good pitching. But when we're going to run out, five guys with that's going to give us a chance to win. We're going to have several guys in the minor leagues that have big league experience and the ability to win at the big league level. And then behind them, we're going to have a group of young up and coming guys that are going to be in the next wave of these starting pitchers. So we feel as good as anybody, I think, with your rotation. I don't think there's a general manager out there who says that I'm good. Yeah, no problems here. We're no one's going to get hurt. We're going to breeze through the season. So. But we're extremely happy with where we're at right now.
Realistic expectations for you for Victor Robles this year. What do you see him slotting in?
No, we have expectations that he's going to be a contributor on a championship caliber club, which is not easy. When you look at what we've done in this franchise, in this organization, when scouting and player development puts a big league player on your roster just about every season, it's a remarkable feat. You're talking about plugging in one of your own in each and every season for the last 7 or 8 years that has helped contribute. That's a remarkable feat for a scouting staff and a player development staff. Robles, we feel that he's got great upside, but his now skill set we believe is ready for the major leagues, and for him to break into an everyday role or a everyday contributing role on this club is going to be a remarkable feat for him, and that's what our expectations are. Be a good player on a really good team. We've got four great outfielders. So we feel we've got a good combination of terrific offense, terrific defense, elite base running, and great depth. So we're extremely happy about where we're at.
Mike Rizzo on Grant and Danny getting us started. Day two of our coverage from pristine West Palm Beach. Day pretty enough to put on a postcard. Mike, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
Thank you, Mike.
Coming up on the show today, Steven Strasburg, Max Scherzer, Ryan Zimmerman, and much more. You are listening to Grant and Danny.
Guys, Danny Rubier here. I got to tell you about something that's going on in D.C. It's a big secret. It's huge, even. It's St. James. It's the newest destination for active families in and around Washington, D.C. Something for everybody here. For sports fanatics, how about two NHL-sized ice rinks, state-of-the-art fieldhouse, hardwood courts, even an Olympic-sized pool, and that's just the beginning. They got top-notch coaches, competitive leagues in over 30 sports, and developmental training programs so you can learn at your own pace. Aside from sports, there's an active entertainment center with climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, and a massive water park, all perfect for that unforgettable birthday party. Plus a premium health club with cardio classes like cycling and Pilates, dedicated personal trainers, so much more. Post-workout, premium full-service spa. She's awaiting for you with restorative massages, facials, and even cryotherapy because you can never treat your body too well. And to top it all off, how about a Spike Mendelsohn-designed restaurant? Oh, yes. And a health and sports medicine center. So much under one roof. The St. James is truly the first of its kind. You got to join. Visit the stjames.co. That's the stjames.co and join today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny from West Palm Beach in Florida at spring training with the Nationals. Thanks to Mike Rizzo for joining us. Huge show planned for you today. We're brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to VanMeterHomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. A lot of great insight from Rizzo there on the ball club. You know, you asked about Victor Robles at the very end. He might be the most important player that nobody's talking about for the Nationals.
I hate what I'm about to do, but that's the quintessential X factor, right? Where if he's okay, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, as a guy that was a teenager not that long ago, if he's just okay, there's no harm there, right? That's all good. That's helpful. He'll be a helpful major league piece, part of a platoon maybe, not a platoon, but time share with Michael A. Taylor, whatever. If he's great, if he's a star, if he's the next big thing, if he's kind of what Ronald Acuna was for the Braves or what Soto was last year for the Nationals, all of a sudden, what a bonus that could be, right? I mean, you forget about old what's-his-name, right? No 34 in the outfield. Who cares? We've got this dynamic 20-30 kind of player that's patrolling Gold Glove center field for us.
And he doesn't have the present power to provide the run production impact of some of the guys you just named. But what he could do is invigorate the clubhouse with an exuberance and a youth and an energy that they have been lacking. His athleticism is elite. And you're talking about an ability to track baseballs in the outfield that is on par with or maybe a hair better than Michael Taylor, who's phenomenal.
Who's great at it.
A guy who, as a catalyst on the base pass, can go first to third and steal your bags and really impact the way Davey Martinez manages if it works out and he gets off to a quick start. Now, there's also the opportunity out there that if he struggles a little bit, maybe Michael Taylor still gets plenty of run and maybe he doesn't steal that job and run with it. But if you want to talk about important players to this team this year, and maybe this is something fun we could start on the phones with as we open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines for the first time this morning at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Danny, what's the better way to ask this? Because I don't necessarily want to say who's just the most important player, because your best players, Max Scherzer as an ace, has to make 30-plus starts and be himself.
So they're all the givens, right?
I would almost say who's your X factor. Who's a non-star who has a chance to make this team a division champion again? Robles is a great example. What if Trevor Rosenthal pitches 65 times to a 2.09 ERA and strikes out a batter per inning and is touching 100 and is a co-closer by year's end because he's that dominant with Sean Doolittle? What does that do for this team? Or look at, maybe it is Brian Dozier. What if Brian Dozier hits 33 home runs, which isn't a ton by his standards?
It's less than he averaged for 3 years in Minnesota.
Drives in 81, plays 157 times. You don't have to bring up Carter Kieboom, and if you do, it's to replace, you know, Rendon on the DL for a couple of weeks. Or what if you get that type of impact from one of these guys who we're just saying might be okay, and they play to the back of the baseball card, as Rizzo likes to say?
Yeah. To me, the answer to this question, you could go a number of guys, right? To me, it's Trey Turner. Is Trey Turner the good player? And he's played shortstop, I think, better than a lot of people thought that he'd be able to. I think he's handled that position pretty well. But I was talking to a member of the Nationals yesterday, and I said, you know, what's his ceiling? I said, what could he be? And the guy looked at me without hesitation and said, he could hit 25 homers and steal 80 bases. Can you imagine?
What if?
What? Think about those numbers. Video games with the difficulty turned down.
Yeah.
Think about, you have a player that dynamic manning an important defensive position at a pretty good level. He's not, you know, Gold Glove Omar Vizquel in his time, but goodness gracious, I'd even say he's plus at this stage of his career as a shortstop. But that kind of dynamic offensive presence, to me, if he's just good, if he's what he's been, maybe a little bit improved in some areas, he walked a little bit more last year. If he's good, that's fine. If he's a superstar, if he's the MVP candidate we thought a couple years ago when he came up for that 80-game sample and hit 370, whatever the hell he did, oh my gosh, what could this team do? Think about the run production. Think about the havoc on the bases. Think about the number of fastballs guys behind him are getting because that threat of the runners on first base at all times getting ready to steal. He can impact the game so much. If he is a star, this offense is fine. It's rolling, and he is a havoc wreaker.
You know, there's another guy I'd throw into that mix in terms of back of the roster almost players who are paramount. Anibal Sanchez, who came over, former Detroit Tiger.
It's a good one.
He had a few seasons in a row where it looked like he was on his way out of the major leagues. I mean, he just couldn't get right. And then last year in Atlanta, he was spectacular. I don't think he can do what he did last season. In fact, I can't imagine Mike Rizzo, who just sat down with us, and if you missed that interview, you got to go to thefandc.com. He can't possibly think that he's going to give them that same sub-3 ERA and the quality starts every fifth day. I just can't imagine that that's the expectation. But if he is a serviceable number four starter, and what I mean by that is an ERA somewhere in the mid-fours, you know, six innings at a time, keeps you in ball games, your rotation probably is deep enough. If Sanchez is not a hit and he does not succeed and he regresses back to where he was pre-Atlanta, I worry about the rotation because now you need Joe Ross, suddenly healthy, to be better than he probably is expected to be internally.
You need Fetty to do something he hasn't done.
You need Eric Fetty to turn a corner that he hasn't been able to at this point. And you need Jeremy Hellickson to not only stay healthy, but to pitch beyond five innings at a time. Because if Sanchez is doing that and Hellickson's doing that, your bullpen gets worn down really quickly. That's a problem they had last year. It's something that Davey Martinez had to deal with and wasn't able to all that well, was a taxed bullpen, lack of innings from starters. So I believe Sanchez is a really vital swing guy here. You've got a top three that everyone in the sport is envious of in Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin, who you just spent $140 million on. But three pitchers, that's great come the division series. That doesn't get you to the playoffs.
Right.
You need another three to four guys to get you to the playoffs.
Because maybe your fourth starter now in the postseason is one time through the order, and then it's, you know, Johnny Holstaff with the days off and everything.
3 1/3 innings of giving up two runs, and you did your job.
But it's how you win in July. It's how you win in August. It's how you stay afloat in a division. You know, it's how you get the last game of a series or whatever it is, right? After and the Nationals have had remarkable runs of health until really the seasons where they haven't performed well, and they're starting pitching. I mean, the years like 2012, I think they had one guy miss one start because Jordan Zimmerman's shoulder was a little sore. And then you go back to, you know, some of the 96, 95 win teams. Most guys make just about every start. That's not normal. What's normal is what happened last year, to be honest with you. Guys miss starts. Guys have DL trips. Guys have, you know, huge injuries and stuff. So starting pitching depth, I think, is a key. It's a key for everybody. But you got to have somebody do what they haven't done consistently. And that's a big deal.
Grant and Danny live in West Palm Beach at Nats Camp. We are going to be joined today by Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Ryan Zimmerman, Anthony Rendon, and others. It's going to be a massive show. If you're a baseball fan in D.C., let us keep you warm down here in Florida and bring you some real quality content you're not going to get anywhere else. We'll also keep tabs on what's going on with the Redskins in the NFL as the Skins get set for the start of free agency. And Alex Ovechkin scored the 650th goal in his career last night. A huge win for the Caps. That was a really impressive showing.
Big deal.
In Toronto. We'll break that down as well. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from Nats Spring Training, brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to VanMeterHomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home for the Nationals, the Capitals, and more Redskins talk than anywhere else in Washington, D.C. We've already talked to Mike Rizzo. Trevor Rosenthal will be on the show with us in 12 minutes at 10:45. Rosenthal joining the Nationals as a former 40-save closer to pitch in the bullpen ahead of Sean Doolittle, who's going to work the ninth. Rosenthal will be the setup man this year. We've asked you on the phones at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, to chime in on this question. National, non-star, maybe toward the back of the roster, or an unsung hero, so to speak, who could really swing the pendulum back to this team winning the division. Couple of things we should point out just from being down here at spring training, though. We talked about this early in the show yesterday. The feel of the clubhouse is just very different.
It's a different vibe, and it always sounds like you're, not you personally, but you're besmirching guys that aren't here anymore. It's not to do that. It's just to simply say this does feel different.
Well, but I'll besmirch in this regard. I mean, look, Bryce Harper does not bring on himself the attention that he gets necessarily. He just, by showing up, gets that attention. People – see him and want to talk to him, whether that's the media and the fans. It did create a situation. It's worth it, by the way, to have his 40 homers and his 100 RBI. But it creates a situation that is gone now, for better or worse. And maybe it could be better if the guys you bring in, the guys that are now healthy, like just walking around, Howie Kendrick in any clubhouse in the country at spring training right now would be one of the top two or three leaders. You've got him here. I think that the addition of Kurt Suzuki, one of the most respected catching minds and teammates in baseball, Yan Gomes, who's a just salt-of-the-earth human being, those types of guys are going to run the Nats clubhouse. And it's Max Scherzer's clubhouse, but you can't have a pitcher calling your players-only meetings. I don't think you're going to have that problem this year. Adam Eaton is very comfortable, very vocal, kind of loud in the clubhouse, more so than you've seen in the past. So I think that's a good sign. But the other thing you've noticed, and again, I'm not going to claim victory yet for the Nationals on this. They need to prove it to me. I fell victim last year like everyone else to all the things they were saying when we came down here about how pleasant everything was and how different Davey Martinez was. And then the game started and they were behind the eight ball. And you can blame it on injuries or whatever you want, but they were a lot worse than they've been in the 2 years
previous. Yeah, they didn't
play well. Here's something that should be acknowledged, though. They are operating differently this year in this regard. Last season, they kind of felt like, no matter what happens, we roll out the baseballs. We're so good, we're going to win 94 games. There is more urgency to get the little things right this year. There is more of an emphasis on some of the fundamentals that in the major league sometimes you take for granted. They are not taking a bunt that doesn't get down in a drill or running the base paths in this practice portion of camp before these games. They're not taking any of that stuff for granted. Doesn't matter if it's Ryan Zimmerman or if it's a guy who's been in the league 10 years or someone who's never going to make the big leagues. They're redoing the drill, and we didn't see that in the past. I give Davey Martinez credit for that adjustment. We'll see what it means long-term.
Do this with me, okay? A quick little exercise, just for giggles.
Just for fun.
Just for fun. Here's their baseball reference page, okay? So you go through it, and you find the guys. What the way it's organized is who played the most games at that spot, right? So who was your primary first baseman, third baseman, shortstop, et cetera, right? Primary position last year, Matt Wieters started the most games at catcher. Are they better or worse this year?
Considerably better. Gomes is better, and so is the backup Suzuki.
Massive amounts better. First base will be the same cast of characters. Second base, Wilmer Defoe started the most games at second base. Are they better or worse this year?
They might be more upgraded there than anywhere else from Defoe to Dozier.
You could have a great debate. Are they better? Are they upgrade more at catcher, or they upgrade more at second base? Then you go down the line with starting pitching, with what happened last year.
We forgot Harper in the outfield. Well, so that's an area where they may have gotten worse.
But that's the one. I'm going to get to it. The number three starter, Gio Gonzalez. Number three starter, Patrick Corbin. Better or worse?
You got better.
Number five starter is the same. Number four starter, TBD, right? Anibal Sanchez versus Tanner
Roark. I would say you got worse there. However, Roark was bad enough. Sanchez should be able to do what Roark did last year.
Back end of the bullpen. Obviously, Sean Doolittle's there, but what we saw from Madsen, Justin Miller, Matt Gray, Sammy Solis, the guys that got the most innings, that's now Kyle Bearclaw, that's now Trevor Rosenthal. Better or worse?
Way better.
Better. Now, here's the areas where they got worse, quote-unquote. In theory, it's Adam Eaton starting more games in right field, even though he was banged up a bunch last year. But he also was on the bench a number of times when the full outfield was healthy, right?
Yeah, but you lost an MVP candidate in Harper, so that's one downgrade.
This is one downgrade, okay? And then the other is probably, as we said, debatable whether it's Tanner Roark or Anibal Sanchez.
Well, it should be said, Anibal Sanchez had a way better year than Tanner Roark last year.
He did, so that one is debatable TBD.
And if you look at the last 3-4 year sample, it's Roark by mile.
So the point here is they absolutely, unequivocally got worse at the Bryce Harper spot. That's going to happen, right? A $300-plus million player, MVP candidate, you got worse. Adam Eaton's fine. The point is they're better at so many different spots that aren't incumbents.
Almost everywhere else.
Almost everywhere else.
And I would even add to that that Trey Turner should be expected to be better than he was last year. So, in other words, it's the exact same guy who played in every single game. I think he played in 162.
He played 162, yes.
Which is pretty amazing. Didn't miss a game in 6 months of baseball last year, which is an incredible accomplishment. But I think he'll have a better year this year than he had last year.
What do you think? Obviously, you know, injuries notwithstanding. Let's say he plays 157.
Numbers-wise?
Yeah.
I think he steals 60 bags to start. I mean, what did he end up with last
43.
Year? 43. I think he's over 60. I think his average, which was in the 270s last
271,
year.
271, yep.
I think ends up being closer to 285 this year. I think his on-base percentage is better. He takes more walks. I think almost across the board, I'd expect him to hit 23, 24 homers this year as well.
So last year, counting totals, 19 bolts, 73 RBIs, 43 Steals only caught 9 times, and he hit 271, as you touched on. He walked more last year, just percentage-wise, saw more pitches. That's good. You never want a guy like that who's just such a pure hitter. Hey, go up there and take a million pitches. That's not his game. That's Adam Eaton's game. That's not necessarily Trey Turner's game. You want hitters to hit.
But you know what? I need him on base.
I need him
on
base.
I don't care how he gets there.
I know, me too.
And I think he needs to learn that lesson. It's funny. Yesterday, Davey Martinez sat with us. He's been, it sounded to me, I don't know if you took it the same way, kind of going round and round with Juan Soto on taking his walks.
Yep.
You know, where maybe Soto just doesn't love the idea. And if I had his raw power, he hit some of the farthest home runs of any national
last
year.
That shot at Yankee Stadium is ridiculous.
I probably the longest home run I've seen on a Masson telecast in 10 years, yeah. Right? He has pop like Orville Redenbacher. You don't want to take your walks. Why would you want to do that? But if you can get that through to Juan Soto, I think you could probably also get it through to Trey Turner. It's the same message to me. A walk for you is a double, dude.
Yes.
A walk for you might even be a damn triple. You're going to steal second, and you might be able to steal third, depending on the pitcher. View a walk as an extra base hit.
For you especially.
And I think some of these younger guys, the way the league is trending, and Turner's in this boat, they view walks more negatively than we used to. You shouldn't.
Not for him.
Please take your walk.
My four-hole stick, who's there to drive in runs, I'm not as concerned if you're taking pitchers or if you're walking, right? Obviously, I'd like you to be a complete
Who
hitter.
Who do you think hits cleanup in this lineup, by the way?
I think it'll start as Zimmerman.
Okay.
I think it'll start as Zimmerman. It may end up just if you do the order, maybe Rendon.
So who do they bat leadoff? Turner?
So it'll. My guess is, well, I said Zimmerman's wrong. It's gonna be Rendon to start probably, right?
So how do you – what's your lineup? By the way, Trevor Rosenthal's on the show in 6 minutes.
My guess is what they do is they'll go Turner 1, Eaton 2, Soto 3. Now, normally you don't want the back-to-back lefties because you want old people to be able to match up, but Soto is so good at handling lefties, so I don't really care. Bring in whoever you want. Burn a pitcher, that's fine. Rendon 4, Zim 5, Dozier 6. Now, what's interesting about that is Dozier has never hit the middle of the order. He's always been a first or second guy for the most part in Minnesota.
Which I don't love.
But
he's not on base guy.
You don't have to do that here,
yeah.
Right? There, you probably did, right? You'd rather be up 1-0 every 5 games, which is what he would do.
Yeah, he could jump bridge on the third pitch of the game.
But I want those bolts in the middle of the order, please and thank you. That's what I care about.
So I like that lineup. I think I would probably flip Eaton and Turner.
It's what I would do.
I would bat Adam Eaton leadoff. I think he has more consistent quality at bats. He draws more walks, not even based on just percentages, but I think if he's in the mode in leadoff, I think he would. He also sees more pitches.
Yep.
So I want him to grind ABs and kind of help everyone behind him with his approach. I like having a guy with great speed and who's got some power hitting second. I think Turner can be that guy. Rendon, to me, is also a great two-hitter. But this is the year for me that he goes out and drives in a buck 10, buck 15 if he stays healthy. So I would then slot him down to – I put Eaton second. I think you had Rendon fourth and Soto third.
Uh-huh.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
You might flip those?
I could consider flipping those, yeah.
I hate that.
Hit Rendon third, break up my lefties a little bit. But either way, I would go – at that point, I'm lefty-righty through the first four. It doesn't really matter to me who's third and who's fourth between Rendon and Soto interchangeably there. Zimmerman hits fifth, Dozier sixth, and then you kind of sort out the rest with your catcher and your pitcher, eighth and ninth.
How excited are you? Are you in on catcher 7, Gomes or Suzuki? Pitcher 8, Robles 9. There's some talk of that. Are you anti that, pro that?
No, I'm fine with that. I mean, generally, to me, I think it's funny. As much as I care about spots in the order at the top, I think when you get to 7, 8, 9, they matter so little. So it doesn't really matter to me. Generally, I do love turning the lineup over with speed in the 9 hole. I think it's very smart. So if they wanted to go with Robles there to maybe start off an inning where you got all that speed with Robles, Eaton, and then Turner, I like the athleticism.
Here's where I like that lineup a lot. It's when I'm at my fourth and fifth starter. If I got a guy like Hellickson that's 5 and dive, who may only get one at bat.
Right.
I don't care if he's hitting eighth because he's going to get up there once. Then it's
sure.
A pinch hitter, then I'm playing the matchup game. Same thing with Sanchez. Not a likely 8-inning guy. If you're doing it with Scherzer, now you're talking 3 at-bats for Scherzer. Maybe the same thing for Strasburg, maybe same thing for Corbin.
I also like it because you got to give Robles a chance to have a little protection.
I can't have him eighth.
To help him out. And if a pitcher's behind him, he's never going to see anything to hit. It's going to make it really hard. It's going to
torment tough on development,
him
yep.
As a kid trying to develop at the plate. So that would be a big benefit to him. Grant and Danny live at Nats Spring Training here in West Palm Beach. Trevor Rosenthal joins us next. You're listening to The Fan.
I'm I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Found Trevor Rosenthal in the Nats clubhouse in West Palm Beach, getting settled into his first camp here in Washington. We were just joking. You're only 20-some minutes away from where you went to camp for years with St. Louis. You were able to not accidentally drive over there, though, and walk in as if you were still a Cardinal.
Yeah, not yet. It'll be... Yeah, we still have to pass the test of playing a game over there and not walking into the home clubhouse and going to the visiting side. But yeah, it's been good to be over here and made the adjustment nicely, and I actually really enjoyed my time.
A couple good organizations, Cardinals, Nationals. What's similar about this experience so far, and what's different from St. Louis?
Well, I mean, similar, you know, it's baseball at the end of the day. We're here to throw the ball, catch it, and hit it. But the guys, I mean, the organization as a whole from top to bottom has been really good to me. The coaching staff seems amazing, and everybody that supports us is just over the top, willing to help and also listen. They approach me in a way where they kind of act like they don't know everything and have everything figured out, and they're asking me questions. So I've really enjoyed kind of that dialogue and the approach that they had, with me coming in as a new person.
You've been, healthy and dominant throughout so much of your career, going out and getting 40 saves, and then last year you don't get to play and you're just watching. What was that experience like? And sometimes people will say, like, you have more appreciation for the game or something kind of clicks or changes. Do you feel like that at all after missing a season?
Yeah, definitely. It was a learning experience being away from the game and having to watch from the sidelines. It wasn't all bad. I definitely enjoyed the time with my family and enjoyed the time I had to rebuild my body and condition and all those things. And so I feel like I'm in a good spot now, just mentally, physically, definitely ready to go. It's kind of chomping at the bit to get the season started and start getting into some real games. But I think, yeah, at the end of the day, it's something that I love to do, and I'm going to be very appreciative for every opportunity that I have from here going forward.
Are you past the point at all, like, where when you go out to throw or do something, you're not nervous anymore, you're just, it's baseball again? I mean, did that happen even before your throwing session when you lit the radar gun up at 100 and the Nats wanted to sign you?
Yeah, I mean, there's nerves all the time, I think, and if they're not there, I think you try and make them be there, because that's what's fun. It's fun having that competition and knowing the guys that you're going against are some of the best, and they're trying to beat you, and it's not fun to get beat. So at the end of the day, that's what makes it enjoyable as a competitor.
Here in the clubhouse, your locker's right next to Sean Doolittle,
yeah.
Accomplished closer in his own right. It's pretty rare to have guys of your stature. What's your role going to be, do you think, and how might it be fluid throughout the season?
I think with having both of us at the back end, it should be something that works out very well in whatever capacity it is. But I anticipate me being out there in eighth inning and setting things up for Sean, and if he needs a day, I can fill in, or kind of vice versa. But I think having multiple options is always a good thing for the manager and for the team.
Our guest is Trevor Rosenthal, the Washington Nationals, here on Grant and Danny. We've seen bullpens over the last few years grow in their importance. It really started with the Royals with Herrera and Holland, and Davis, 7th, 8th, 9th in the playoffs. Are we at a point yet where you don't have to be a closer to either get paid or to feel like you're still just as vital? In other words, if you guys are in a division series and the game needs to be saved in the 7th inning, it might be you right there. 10 years ago, if the closer wasn't in it, it's a guy that's just a middle reliever. Do you view it differently now than you did when you came into the game, or you still want to get back to the 9th inning ultimately?
My view's always been I'm a fan of the traditional closer. I mean, you can make an argument, what teams are doing now with the opener. I guess they think that they're saving the game in the first inning. So you could kind of say that in every inning. You're not, we never want to give up runs. But at the end of the day, when you have a chance to get three outs and go home with a win, I'd like to have that guy out there. And, to get it done and get it done in a timely fashion and get it done repeatedly over and over again throughout the season. So I'm a big fan of the traditional closer. But yeah, the more guys you can stack in front of them, I mean, the better your chances are. And, you know, it starts with the starter, and you know, we got a really good staff here, so it's going to be fun to watch them get the ball to us. And I'm feeling it's going to be pretty late in the game when we're getting the ball.
Away from the field, kind of, what's your relaxation? How do you kind of escape from it?
I have three kids, my wife, so they, you know, we hang out and take care of babies. So that's pretty much it right now. But it's a lot of fun, you know. Spending time with them, and you know, they're hilarious and make us laugh and keep us on our toes. So.
How's your diaper change game? Pretty strong?
It's super strong. Yeah. I'm quick, you know, efficient, minimal waste of, you know, resources. So I like to think that I've, you know, earned my gold star in that category.
If Davey comes up to you one day and he goes, "Hey, we're doing the opener today.
Yeah.
You're throwing the first two innings."
Yeah.
Like, what are you saying to that?
I mean, I'll do it. I'd love to do that.
Just be done
in and out. And all right, boys, I've got my popcorn ready. I'm going to watch this game. But
as a traditional guy, when you watch that, do you go, "This might be a little bit of a stretch"?
I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, you know, if you put Doolittle, me out there in the first inning, and then, you know, we got a one-run lead in the ninth, and we got a AAA guy going out there to get the save, you're probably not as confident. You might wish that you had that guy still. So that's, you know, that's what I've experienced with, you know, teams that, you know, we kind of try to do that, put a guy in earlier. It seems like it always kind of comes back to bite you, more or less.
Dude, this is great, man. Really appreciate it. Have a great camp.
Trevor
Rosenthal. Stay healthy and rock and roll, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
As heard on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. 14.3 strikeouts per nine innings in 2017. In fact, for his career, 12 Ks per nine. Dominant, misses bats, has always pitched in the ninth inning getting saves. And we've seen him in St. Louis saving 45 and 48 games in a back-to-back campaign stretch. And now his role is a little bit diminished as he tries to pitch his way back after missing last season. But he's right in the prime of his career, debuted at 22 years old. He's only 28 right now. He and Kyle Bearclaw will both be huge pieces for Washington. And we talked to Sean Doolittle today. He's actually going to come over to our setup just off of the practice field here when he's done working out today to chat with our listeners. But I mean, he's pumped. Ninth inning work for him is still the expectation, but he got overworked a little bit early last season.
I would say so, yeah.
And that's not going to have to be the case, hopefully, if the Nationals can stick to this plan.
Number of things. One, you win by multiple runs on occasion. Two, you've got other guys that can, you know, prevent you from having to throw three straight days. You get off to a decent enough start, you're not constantly chasing where you've got to use the A bullpen, you know, four or five out of six or seven nights over the course of a year. That stuff matters.
We had Mike Rizzo on a little bit earlier on this hour. Matter of fact, started the show with him and asked him about Bryce Harper. He told us that while the Nationals are not having ongoing talks with Scott Boras right now, that Boras has his number. And if they need to call the Nationals and get a hold of Washington, they can. It sounds to me like the Nationals are not making those phone calls themselves.
No, they're not actively doing it, yeah.
Mark Lerner, who was on our show, and early this offseason kind of set the table for the Nationals letting Harper walk, right here on Grant and Danny, was on NBC Sports Washington within the last hour and doubled down on those comments and even went a little bit further about how little contact the Nationals have had with Scott Boras about Bryce Harper. I think it's going to surprise people. We'll play that audio for you next. This is big news in that a lot of people around the country still feel like the Nats might end up with Harper, and he didn't rule it out. But I think you're going to want to hear this. We'll do that at the top of the hour right at 11 on Grant and Danny. Steven Strasburg on the show at 11:15 or so. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.